Welcome to Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Your host Claudio, Renaissance man of WCOM, has opened the doors and is outside right now sweeping off the sidewalk. Well, wait a minute, you think he's coming in. He wants to invite you in to take a little break from your workaday world and hang out here, where we've got the best conversationalists in town and some of the best stuff going on in town. And here he's coming over now to talk with our guest, Peggy Taphorn. Hi, Claudio. Good morning.
Good morning, Vietnam. Always wanted to do that. This is actually Cabro and the Big Chill.
My poor ears.
I'm sorry. Let's hope they heard us.
That's right.
I think you woke up all of Cabro and Chapel Hill.
Yes, we have the one and only Peggy Taphorn, Artistic Director of Temple Theatre in Sanford here in the studio, and we're going to pry into what's going on over there. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning. Thank you for having me back. It's always great to be on WCOM. I'm a big fan of community radio, and this is one of the best. So
thank you for having me back. Wonderful.
And yay, you go, girl.
Once again, that's right. Once again, it's Audrey Layton. Let me work on my headset here. 1 second. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. 1, 2. Testing, testing.
I hear you.
Testing, testing, testing. I'm not sure where I am.
Less sweeping, more prepping. How about that?
Well, the thing is, we can't hear ourselves until we're on the air. That's the problem. Am I registering over there, Audrey?
Yes, you are.
I know
are
I'm registering in your head. But
yes, yes. We hear you loud and clear.
Quick shout out to the primary supporter of, the primary sponsor of Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theatre. I've still got to get used to that, not saying the literary and all else, even though that's tied in. When I say a big shout out to the Carolina Theatre of Durham, the historic Carolina Theatre of Durham, who tonight is still featuring Chris Bodie. He was there last night and he's there tonight.
Excellent.
Show I'm actually not working, but I'm going to try and get on it in the future. We did have Stephen Wright on a couple of nights ago that I did stage manage. When was that, Friday?
I think that was Friday, yes.
Boy.
Yeah.
Time flies.
Yes, it does.
He is a trip. He reminds me of somebody that just put the joint down and got on stage.
But he is just, I mean, he's been so good for so many years. It's years ago when I first heard him. And
I saw him, I want to say, in the early 80s in St. Louis. Is that possible?
I think, yes. Absolutely. I think that's when I became familiar with him.
I had just started college, and he came through St. Louis, and I think I saw him then, maybe 82, 83.
Yeah. That sounds
my
about
kids
right
know, you know, you say Stephen Wright, and they start pulling out the lines. I think the one they like best is the one about calling the telephone operator to say, "Where are my socks?" And she says, "Behind the couch." And they were.
And they were actually there. It's funny how women always know these things. I remember that from relationships.
Yes.
Somehow you could always ask your lovely counterpart where your things were, and she knew, even if she hadn't seen them. She just sort of had a registry up
here. And you really just have to say, "Have you seen my thing?"
Yes, and that's true. Doesn't even have
yes,
to,
it's behind the couch.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't like it there. That's why I remember it. Well, I want to start the show very similarly to the way I did last time. I just want to remind you folks out there of a political situation where if you're unhappy with what's going on, and God knows I am, get your big tail off the couch and do something about it. I just want to remind you that our government consists of 100 senators, 435 congressmen, one president, and 9 Supreme Court justices. 545 human beings out of the 300 million are directly, legally, morally, and individually responsible for the domestic problems that plague this country. Now, if 300 million people can't get rid of 545, then we deserve what we get. And don't pin it all on Obama. He walked into a trash pile.
Okay, get out there and get busy and start local.
That's it,
right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yes.
As we were talking earlier, each one of us as individuals and as a member of the collective,
right,
what we do counts.
Absolutely.
Every day,
absolutely,
every moment. So if you don't like it, change your ways.
Make the world the way you want it to be.
Buy where you need to buy, do what you need to do,
but
start locally and the ripples will be felt.
Support absolutely what you want to support and don't support that. Don't support things that you don't believe in just because they're there.
Correct.
I think so many people walk the path of convenience instead of the path of heart. So let's get on track.
Yep.
And
before we forget,
down
there we go.
Oh,
you got your
you
little
go
thing. Yeah, I want to just remind everybody that Claudio is going to be the featured artist at the Cotton Company in historic Wake Forest. He'll be staging recitals of his own writings along with exhibiting his artwork. And during the last 10 years, Claudio has added photography to his artistry. He refers to his work as slice of life, available light photography, the art of capturing the natural moment. His watercolor marker art has been referred to as both cubist and impressionist. Claudio defines his works as festival colors, and they certainly are. They certainly
yes, they are.
They're bright and cheerful. My colors and my art are designed to rekindle our inner smile and romantic nature, to stimulate an appetite for the festival of the soul. And that's he certainly achieves that in his work. The Cotton Company is a place where artists can work and sell their wares, and information available about that is at thecottoncompany.net. www.thecottoncompany.net. And when are you opening up?
Actually loading in on Sunday, February 7th.
All right.
Next, not this Sunday, but next Sunday.
Uh-huh. So it's going to be a great show. And,
the great thing about having a co-host, everybody out there, is that she can plug your stuff.
Exactly.
Thank you, Audrey.
But it's wonderful stuff to plug. And your show runs for a month, correct?
Runs for a month, an entire
excellent
month. And it's an exhibit and sale, so go by there and get something. You know, support your local starving artist.
That's right.
I'll pay me water bill that way. And the influences are... What?
You can't plug the sale of your works on
okay.
Here.
Oh, that's right.
Sorry,
take that back. Forget it. Erase it from your memories.
You could say you're exhibiting.
Made a big oops. So sorry. Exhibiting. Just go have a look.
Exactly. Enjoy. And enjoy the
and
town.
Listen.
Wake Forest
exactly.
Is there.
Exactly.
And the recitals are going to be great.
And a little bit, as a matter of fact, the recitals we're going to get into some with the radio theater toward the last 10 minutes of the show today. We'll have Peggy Taphorn doing a rendition of one of my works from Seafarers entitled Sea Liloquy. We'll also have Audrey doing a version of Atlantic Serenade. And I will probably do a couple of funny pieces, or at least one funny piece. But before I get Peggy on, I'm going to do a few funny pieces about getting older. This first one is entitled Garage Door. The boss walked into the office one morning, not knowing his zipper was down, and his fly area was wide open. His assistant walked up to him and said, "This morning when you left your house, did you close your garage door?" The boss told her he knew he'd closed the garage door and walked into his office, puzzled by the question. As he finished his paperwork, he suddenly noticed his fly was open and zipped it up. He then understood his assistant's question about his garage door. He headed out for a cup of coffee and paused by her desk to ask, "When my garage door was open, did you see my Hummer? Did you see a Hummer parked in there?" She smiled and said, "No, I didn't. All I saw was an old minivan with two flat tires."
That's sad. Oh, that's so sad.
Yes, yes. The thing about getting older. And the next one. I had these sent by a friend. Two elderly gentlemen from a retirement center were sitting on a bench under a tree when one turns to the other and says, "Slim, I'm 83 years old now. And I'm just full of aches and pains. I know you're about my age. How do you feel?" Slim says, "I feel just like a newborn baby, thank you." "Really? Like a newborn baby?" "Yep. No hair, no teeth. And I think I just wet my pants." An elderly couple had dinner at another couple's house. And after eating, the wives left the table and went into the kitchen. The two gentlemen were talking and one said, "Last night we went out to a new restaurant and it was really great. I would recommend it very highly." The other man said, "What is the name of the restaurant?" The first man thought and thought and thought and finally said, "What is the name of that flower you give to someone you love? You know, the one that's red and has thorns." "You mean a rose?" "Yes, that's the one," replied the man. He then turned towards the kitchen and yelled, "Rose, what was the name of that restaurant we went to last night?"
Great.
That's getting to the edge of it. A couple in their 90s are both having a problem remembering things. During a checkup, the doctor tells them that they are physically okay, but they might want to start writing things down to help them remember. Later that night, while watching TV, the old man gets up from his chair. "Want anything while I'm in the kitchen?" he asks. "Would you get me a bowl of ice cream?" "Sure." "The only thing, you should write it down so you can remember," she asks. "No, I can remember it." "Well, I'd like some strawberries on top, too. Maybe you should write it down so as not to forget it." "I also like whipped cream. I'm certain you'll forget that. Write it down," she asks. Irritated, he says, "I don't need to write it down. I can remember it. Ice cream with strawberries and whipped cream. I got it, for goodness sake." Then he toddles into the kitchen. After about 20 minutes, the old man returns from the kitchen and hands his wife a plate of bacon and eggs. She stares at the plate for a moment. "Where's my toast?"
I think that one was my favorite. That was absolutely my favorite.
They both forgot.
Well, you deal with the moment, right?
Exactly. Yes,
deal with the moment.
Just goes to prove to it that it all means live the moment.
That's right.
What life teaches us, and in the end of life, you catch on to it. A senior citizen said to his 80-year-old buddy, "So, I hear you're getting married." "Yep." "Do I know her?" "Nope." "This woman, is she good looking?" "Not really." "Is she a good cook?" "Nah, she can't cook too well." "Does she have lots of money?" "Nope, poor as a church mouse." "Well then, is she good in bed?" "I don't know." "Why in the world did you want to marry her then?" "Because she can still drive."
That was another good one.
Three old guys are out walking. I'm getting ahead of myself here. First one says, "Windy, isn't it?" Second one says, "No, it's Thursday." Third one says, "So am I. Let's get..." Sorry. Let me try that again. Three old guys are out walking. First one says, "Windy, isn't it?" Second one says, "No, it's Thursday." Third one says, "So am I. Let's go get a beer." I was interpreting that one as I was going through it, so I really screwed up there. A man was telling his neighbor, "I just bought a new hearing aid. It cost me $4,000, but it's state-of-the-art. It's perfect." "Really?" answered the neighbor. "What kind is it?" 12:30.
Aww. Yeah.
Morris, an 82-year-old man, went to the doctor to get a physical. A few days later, the doctor saw Morris walking down the street with a gorgeous young woman on his arm. A couple of days later, the doctor spoke to Morris and said, "You're really doing great, aren't you?" Morris replied, "Just doing what you said, Doc. Get a hot mama and be cheerful." The doctor said, "I didn't say that. I said you've got a heart murmur. Be careful."
Either way works.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. I'm with him on the first go-round.
Yes, absolutely.
He'll live a lot longer, or at least happier.
And one more, and I promise I'll shut up. A little old man shuffled down into the ice cream parlor and pulled himself slowly, painfully up on a stool. After catching his breath, he ordered a banana split. The waitress asked kindly, "Crushed nuts?" "No," he replied, "arthritis."
Ouch.
You had to be there. I know he was. Well, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theatre here in the studio with Audrey Layden, who also has her own show, Carborough Bookbeat, and the one and only, the wonderful, the cute, Peggy Taphorn of Temple Theatre.
Well, thank you very much.
And we're going to dig into what's happening at Temple Theatre. So the mic is yours.
Well, thank you very much. We have a lot going on. We are in rehearsals for our youth winter production, conservatory production of Romeo and Juliet.
All right.
And so that's what we're doing daily. But this weekend starts our limited run engagement of Mike Wiley in Blood Done Sign My Name.
The one I'm coming to see, yes.
Exactly. It's a one-man show. It's multimedia. It's a one-man show with a gospel singer. So it's a one-man and one-woman show, really.
She comes
in and acts as the Greek chorus, but Mike Wiley tells the story, Tim Tyson's story of Blood Done Sign My Name. He plays about 40 different characters.
Wow.
Mike's an African-American actor. If you've not seen his work, he's brilliant.
And he also interpreted the work.
He does. He plays all the characters in the book, black, white, young, old, male, female.
But was this a personal project for him? Did he actually create this work?
It was, yes. It originated at Duke.
Right, okay.
And now we will be the last theater to do it before the movie comes out. It's opening nationwide as a feature film.
Oh, wonderful. Who's in it?
Mid-February. You know, I don't know. It's not Mike.
Okay.
It's some...
Pity.
Some big, you know, big, yes, some big movie names and people, yes. But it's a wonderful story. It has ties to Sanford. Some of the events in the book happened in Sanford.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim Tyson's father was a minister in Sanford at two different churches at two different times. And one of the big life-changing moments for him did happen in the Jonesboro Methodist Church in Sanford. And it deals, of course, with race relations. It's about the death of a Vietnam veteran who's African-American at the hands of some, may I say, white rednecks in Oxford,
right.
North Carolina. And what happened to race relations there in Oxford and ripples out from there.
Mm-hmm.
But it also deals with how the book... Anyway, deals with how that changed Tim Tyson's life and how being the son of a preacher, as we know, they're often the wild children and how his whole life was sort of shaped by these racial incidents. And when you realize it happened only in the 70s,
it's not very far away. It's too close for comfort, really.
That's right. And I am shocked and a bit dismayed and a little inspired, I guess, It's become very controversial in Sanford. I thought that this would be a huge sellout for us. We're only doing 6 performances, Friday and Saturday night at 8 p.m. and Sunday at 2 for this weekend and next weekend. It closes the day your art show opens on February 7th.
Pity. I mean, explain the controversy.
I think people are still trying to sort of sweep it under the carpet and pretend that, you know, history didn't happen, especially not in our backyard. You know, having read the book myself, I think that Sanford comes out in a pretty good light. But I know that there are people who would rather forget those bad old days, you know, of segregation and integration and what we went through as a country, you know, but particularly here in the South and how far we've come and how far we haven't come, basically.
I think it's a good thing sweeping under the rug. It's time that changed.
I do, too. And one of the cool things about Blood Done Sign My Name is that after every performance, Mike Wiley does a talk back with the audience. And he's told me that sometimes the talk back lasts just as long as the show.
Oh,
the show's
wonderful.
About 90 minutes.
Right. That was one of my primary reasons for wanting to see it.
And he said, you know, depending on how participatory the audience wants to be, he will stay until the last question is, you know, asked, answered, and debated. So it's really is an opportunity for us to all learn a little bit of our local history, as well as talk about how this happened, where it happened, why it's still happening today, basically. And what we can do to change it, or just the awareness of it, how that changes us. You know, for me anyway, once you learn something about a topic, it's very hard to then pretend like you didn't learn it.
Absolutely. Yes.
You know, so so I hope people will come. I've had resistance from both the white community and the African American community.
That's which, interesting. Why would the African American community have any objections?
I don't know. I guess I'll find out like everybody
else. Well, I do know that Sanford and that whole area, because Broadway, where I live, is not too far from it. It's the neighboring town. They do like to sort of keep things a little hush, and I guess that spills over into the African-American community as well. They just don't want to deal with issues they thought are better left asleep.
Right, and that's just such a foreign, you know, having...
It's horrible. It's pathetic.
Having not grown up here, but it's now my adopted home. I love North Carolina, and particularly Sanford, And I was approached to do the show by several different groups. One of the racial equality groups in Sanford is called One by One, and they're hosting a reception after this Sunday's matinee. After the talk back, you can come into our concession area and have refreshments and continue the discussion and see what their work is. And they're doing a program with the local library with the One Book, One City Read, which will be the second Sunday. They're hosting, you know, they have extra books at the library, and people approached me and thought this is a great time to do this. It's a great, you know, with Obama being elected, you know, we've come into another realm of race relations and what we are as a country. And so I thought, wow, this is going to be great. I talked to Mike. I was like, I can only afford 6 shows, but I'm sure they'll all be sellouts, and they're not.
That is a pity.
And it's it's an interesting conundrum, and I hope, like most things these days, that people are waiting till the last minute.
Yeah. I would like to think so. I'd like to have a bit more faith in that area.
Right.
That they would come and
but,
look
but
at
I'm
their
hoping,
own
history. You know, fortunately and unfortunately, a lot of our audience comes from outside of Sanford and Lee County. And I think for this piece in particular, we will be drawing from crowds from Carrboro, Chapel Hill, the Triad Triangle, Greensboro, Fayetteville area. And I hope that people will come out and see what I think is a very timely and very important show. And like I said, it's a limited run. We are only doing 6 performances this Friday and Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 2. And then the following weekend through February 7th, the same schedule, Friday, Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 2. And there is a talk back after every show. So.
After every show? That's pretty generous.
How much information gets about the show would get up into like the Carrboro Chapel Hill area? I mean, what's the outreach so far as the Temple Theater is concerned?
Well, especially during these tough economic times, we've had to cut our marketing budget pretty much to the bone like everything else. But for this show in particular, we are advertising in The Independent. I'm here on this radio show.
Yes,
community radio is a big asset to us. I'm doing the local radio show in Sanford. I'm going down to Southern Pines to do another community radio show down there. We advertise in the Sanford Herald.
I recommend the Carrboro Citizen. It's just down the street.
That's
here.
Very true. Yeah.
Right. And we put flyers up everywhere that we can.
Weaver Street Market.
Exactly.
Okay.
I have people who come up here. I have people go in Durham. I have people who... As volunteers, kind of help me put stuff out.
Get the word out.
But and
these
if you've
days,
got a few, I'll take them to the Carolina Theater as well.
Okay, great. These days, marketing, as we know, has also changed.
Right.
you know, and we do all these different media, and I am also on a TV show on Tuesday nights, every Tuesday night. So I
What's the name of the show?
It's called Live at Nine.
Live at Nine, and it's in, out of Sanford.
It's out of Sanford. It's the local cable show. And, you know, constantly plugging the Temple, Temple, and then people will still say, I didn't hear about that.
Yes.
Well, I didn't have the carrier pigeon died, unfortunately.
They're so sorry.
So... So it's tricky these days. Sorry, that's my lovely phone
going off. We're getting musical background here for the show.
Technical director's calling me. That's never good.
Oh, no. Well, you can
I'll answer that.
Give him a ring back after we're done chatting.
That wasn't really the phone. This Peggy just has this troupe of musicians that follow her wherever she goes.
Did you see
it's a very
halo,
mystical thing. She walks in and has music playing.
Out. Yes, that's right. It's the soundtrack of my life.
Maria, Maria.
But we do have Blood Done Sun My Name coming up for six performances this weekend and next. But one thing that I'm really excited about is our Winter Youth Conservatory. And we've done, last year we did Brecht on Brecht. The year before we did Midsummer Night's Dream. This year they're tackling Romeo and Juliet. Hmm. And this year, because of the economy, we are offering 20 youths, as I call them, between the ages of 13 and 18, this opportunity. And there is no participation fee. And we mount our youth conservatory productions like we do a main stage production. We have a stage combat guy coming in from Durham. We do full costumes, full staging, full lights, full sound. And these kids get to work with Tom Dalton, who's one of the best teachers of Shakespeare
that I personally have ever met.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's been cool. I've sat in on rehearsals and to watch these, you know, high school and middle school kids learn how to scan Shakespeare, which I had to learn, but I was raised by nuns. I guess they don't really do that in schools anymore, and so it's been really fun to see the
you
little
You were raised by nuns?
I did hard time in Catholic school for 12 years, yes.
I know about those Catholic schools. I avoided them. I went to boarding school.
I like that phrase, hard time in Catholic school.
Back when nuns were nuns and rulers were hard.
Oh, God, I know they were. They were known as wicked nuns.
So how do people get involved with, I mean, how does a young person get involved with the production?
The best way these days, like anything else, is to go to our website.
Mm-hmm.
We always have notices about, this is an audition-only conservatory.
Right. Give us that website.
It is www.templeshows.com. That's templeshows with an S dot com.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our auditions. We have ways to contact us.
All right.
You can also go to the Temple Show Company on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those great multimedia ways. Or you could always just call.
Right.
The number at the Temple is 919-774-4512. Tom, who's the head of education, his extension is 228.
Mm-hmm.
And the general extension is 221, but you'll get the directory and you can find us pretty much anyway.
All right. Well,
explain quickly what the multimedia aspect of the show is.
Mike comes.
And this is back to Blood Done,
Sign to
My
Blood
Name.
Done, Sign My Name. And we're actually loading in tonight, so I'll know more of what I'm talking about after this evening. But he has a multimedia production. There are slides. There are, I believe, brief film clips. And he sort of uses them sometimes as backdrop, sometimes as additional characters.
Of the actual history
and this
in
is
some
all,
cases?
This is all hearsay because I haven't seen the show
yet.
But he brings different – we're using one of our old church pews that is used in the show. And then he does like a lectern set. And then he does – you know, he uses the videos also and the images as, I guess, backdrops to add setting and credence to what he's saying. And then at some point, I believe he interacts with the video screen, but I haven't seen it.
Hmm.
All I know is multimedia.
Sounds impressive, yes. Yes. I remember, what was it, last year? Or maybe even sometime back, you were doing a multimedia presentation. Was it Macbeth?
Hamlet.
Hamlet, thank you.
Which was fantastic.
Yes, it was.
And
we actually had you folks on the show here talking about
it. And unfortunately, Rick St. Peter, who directed that show... he was running a theater in Lexington, Kentucky, which was one of the fatalities last year with the economy.
Oh.
His theater closed.
Yeah.
And Kirby Malone, who did the wonderful 3D, amazing images. I'd never seen anything like that in my entire life. He had been teaching at William & Mary, and unfortunately that job also dried up.
Oh, Lord.
So two of the most creative people that I personally have ever worked with are now unemployed actors. Not actors, but, you know, creatives.
Yes, creatives. So,
the economy has affected us all, and
especially
I hope
the arts.
I'm very proud that, you know, compared to where we were last year at the Temple Theater, you know, in imminent threat of closing our doors forever.
I remember that.
you know, that's one of the most difficult things for people to understand, mm-hmm. is that when a theater closes, it really closes.
Right.
It's very difficult to then get
the money
back.
It's not we'll
be back
next week.
Right, because everyone who works there is then unemployed, so you right. have to go find a job. So right. you lose all the force behind the theater as well right. as, you know, a beautiful space just sitting empty. So I'm very proud to say the Temple's still holding on, and mm-hmm. we do have Blood Done Sign My Name coming up, Romeo and Juliet. The rest of our season is a little more eclectic and a little more, I don't like the word, I'll use the word populist theater.
Populist, okay.
We have a Marty Robbins show. Jason uh-huh. Petty yeah, is coming back to play Marty Robbins music, and he's fantastic. And then we're ending up the season with everyone's favorite South Pacific.
All right. Uh-huh.
So we do have a little something for everyone left this year, so I'm hoping that ticket sales will increase and people, you know, the economy will help us all out by getting slightly better, and people will be able to afford to come out mm-hmm. to the Temple Theater.
Check yeah. out Temple Theater, yes.
Do you ever do any filming of your productions?
We do, but due to union rules, we are not allowed there for archival purposes only.
Okay.
For the student productions, we can film, mm-hmm. and depending on who's the licensing agent, we can distribute them.
Right.
But the Temple Theater is a professional theater,
right?
So we have to abide by union rules, mm-hmm. and they're very strong, especially these days with creative copyright laws
right.
and all that. You know, whose domain is mm-hmm. this
oh, yes.
idea?
Right.
So all of that that we're still working out. It's a very sticky wicket.
Yeah. So. How do you do it? How do you get to do it archivally? And what records do you keep in that sense?
We do videotape and then make a DVD of every production that's done at the
okay.
Temple. And then I keep them in my office under lock and key.
Gotcha. Just so
you can use snips here and there mm-hmm. for promotional purposes.
I was wondering. Okay.
But you're not allowed to show the whole thing.
Right.
Depending on who's in the show and who holds the rights. If mm-hmm. if it's a youth production that's original work or something, we can tape it and give it to the kids. But
right.
But a lot of times, because we are a professional theater, there are union rules that restrict
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like for example, we did a world premiere, a new work, A Christmas Carol. This year, and everybody wanted the DVD and wanted the DVD. And luckily, the writer is a great friend of mine. And mm-hmm. so he said, well, as long as it doesn't end up on Facebook or YouTube or, you know, something like that, he said, I don't care if people have my work.
Right.
So.
All right.
Fantastic.
It just depends. Depends.
Now, in a case, I mean, the first question that comes into my mind after that is, once it's given out on a DVD, who's going to be watching to see if it doesn't get on YouTube?
Well, everyone has had to sign a waiver.
Okay.
And then it is what, you know, America used to be built on, is the honor system.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
You signed this and you said you wouldn't do it, so please don't do it.
Okay.
And I guess otherwise it's just circumstantial. Somebody happens to see it if it is betrayed. So
but there is a waiver that they sign before
yes.
they get the DVD.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that's, you know, that's what you can
that
do.
That makes good sense.
That's right.
Yeah.
yeah. It'd be hard to track down who actually did it. And that's one of the things where my union, which I'm a member of four of them, unfortunately, these days, because of all the dues involved, is trying to crack down on, because of YouTube and all that great stuff. You see, you can get videos, basically, of all the Broadway shows that are running
mm-hmm.
that are totally bootleg.
Right.
And then people don't buy tickets, and it's that whole...
And then the whole thing collapses.
The whole thing that happened with with the music industry... is happening with the theater and TV. You know, I'm not very savvy, so I don't know all about that Hulu and all that stuff where you can just watch a streaming TV show on your
mm-hmm.
computer. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know how any of that works, but then how do the actors get paid? How do the directors get paid? Who gets the royalties for that? If I don't know.
It's a whole
bowl of
soup.
It's going to be a changing mm-hmm. world for us all.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have an idea. That piece that we play in opening the show, is that mm-hmm. still in? Are we still set up for that? I don't know if you'd already pulled it.
I had already pulled it, but I can put it back in.
I was going to let the outside audience enjoy the entire piece, which is actually by George Winston, whom I had the pleasure of hosting at the Carolina Theater some years ago. And I just wanted to let them hear the rest of the piece.
Give us a little...
While we take a little breather, yes.
Give us a little break.
This is called Pixie by George Winston, and is now the opening soundtrack that we are using for Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater on WCOM 103.5 FM. Coming at you, George Winston's Pixie.
Thank you.
do you have pixies dancing all over?
Yeah, I love the way he steps down that music at the end of it.
Yeah, George Winston, Gulf Coast Blues and Impressions. Pixie.
That's the name of the CD. And
that's great.
I just wanted you folks out there to get a chance to hear the whole rest of it, since we're using only a very small portion of it for the beginning of Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theatre on WCOM 103.5 FM. There, I've plugged it again.
Yes, that's what you're tuned into, people. The best little community radio station on the planet.
That's right.
It. Right there with Pirate Radio. If we could pedal this off some boat out there, we'd be doing it, but we're not close enough to the water.
No.
Well, that's the seafarer talking in there.
Of course, and he will always be talking. He's a big portion of what's in here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we still have Peggy Taphorn here in the theatre.
Yes.
We're still talking Temple Theatre.
Yes, we are.
And we were both discussing while the music was on how discouraging we both find it, or all three of us find it, that there's been this lack of turnout for this particular piece, Blood Done Sign My Name, which really reflects on local history there in Sanford. I really think, if nothing else, let the youths of today wake up and go and see this and study your history. I don't know where you came from, what was happening before you got here.
Right. And I think one of the exciting things is that it's also live theater.
Yes.
And particularly in this case, with a 90-minute show, with a talk back afterwards, it's very interactive, very participatory, and very affordable. You know, student prices are $10.
I don't think I know
you
of any house that's more
You can't go see
affordable.
A movie for $10 these days,
no.
Especially if it's in 3D. and this is in 3D.
Yes.
Live in 3D.
You can walk around all sides of this picture.
That's right. So I really do hope people will come and not only sit and listen and observe, but also participate, young and old. We also
Absolutely.
Are doing two student matinees that have sold better than the regular performances.
And the matinees are at 2?
The student matinees are only for students, and those are at 9:30 in the morning, unfortunately, for all of us.
Oh, wow, 9:30 in the morning. I'm surprised you get up that early.
I know. I have to be there at 8.
I can't get it show up here until 9:30 in the morning, and I usually
Well, this is an hour drive.
I know. Yes. Who are you talking to?
Exactly. But it's not really an hour. It takes me an hour because I have to drop the dog off, drop off the baby.
That's right.
At work.
How is the
check
little one?
In. She's not little anymore. She's she's now on a diet.
Has she gotten bigger?
New Year's
talking
resolution.
About growing sideways.
Yeah, she's got a little husky.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But no, she hasn't gotten much bigger. She's great.
She's certainly got a mother that spoils her. It's no wonder.
That's right. Well, and also has a mother who works too much and doesn't run around the fields enough to
yes.
what she really wants to do. So
we're talking about a dog here.
She's people. A dog.
Peggy's not running her little baby around.
Tell us her name again.
Her name is Codega.
Codega.
Mm-hmm. Cody for short. She's a rescue dog. She's a boxer pit.
She's a real character.
Uh-huh. And she is a real character.
I brought mine by one time and went to visit her, and we both took the dogs for a walk up and down the street, and we couldn't keep Whitefoot from pouncing, so we almost had to walk on separate sides of the street. We didn't.
Yeah.
He's still doing
people.
Well, too.
Yeah, exactly.
She definitely thinks she's people. Mm-hmm. You come into the office, she's laying on the couch.
That's her couch.
Right, and she knows it.
It's true. But and she's very participatory. She loves when people come by, and she loves, actually, she'll be with me tonight at Loden.
Probably the most socialized dog around here.
Exactly. So I hope other people will come and participate as well. I really do think that...
But they shouldn't bring their dogs.
But they shouldn't bring their dogs, no.
No more woofs.
No more woofs. This is a great opportunity for us in Sanford and also for North Carolina, really, to take a look back and see how far we've come in the last 40 years and how
well,
far
God knows,
we still have to go.
We do it every single year with the Jewish situation with Hitler and that whole thing. It seems like there's a new reflection on that history every time you turn around. I think it's time we looked more into ourselves to local histories like that. They deserve as much exposure. And I also think we should do more things with the American Indian. You almost never hear about them at all.
That's true. That's
true. They're still in modern-day concentration camps called reservations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time we took a real close look at you know, what we've been through and what we ought to be above and beyond by now, and in many cases are not.
Right. Well, and that's why the lack of interest, really, is frustrating to me and perplexing to me.
It's a sad statement.
Yeah, I don't
understand.
Let's hope it's because I can see people saying, you know, I'm not coming because I don't like Mike Wiley, although I don't think anybody'd say that, Mike.
Yeah.
Or I'm not coming because, you know, we're not coming to the Marty Robbins show because we don't like country music. But this is something that actually happened, mm-hmm. and you get a chance to see it from kind of different angles and then add your own two cents in. For me, that's the best kind of theater.
Absolutely.
You know, theater that does provoke not only your own thoughts about it, but the actual discussion of what you just saw and how you interpreted that and what the person sitting next to you saw mm-hmm. and how they interpret it. So
it might just be, and this is just popping into my head now, is that so many people who have lived this, yes, watch out. Once you've lived it and you've worked your way through it, you don't want to touch it anymore.
Well, I can see that being the old blood, but you know there are a lot of there's a lot of new blood out now. A lot of youngsters that really need to realize that you know, just in case they go in these obscure directions, mentally, psychologically, or whatever, that they realize that you know that this is a path you've already walked. It didn't get you anywhere. Steer clear.
Well, you did say that the youth sales seem to be better than the general audience,
right?
And that's encouraging.
Yes, but we do. Put the kudos there on the teachers mm-hmm. and the principals of the schools
right.
because we do that through schools.
Right.
It's not like the individual children elect to come.
Right.
And for this performance, because of the subject matter, and there is a little bit of bad language, which mm-hmm. I know no one's heard these days.
Yes, yes.
we do recommend that it's for junior high or high school, mm-hmm. Depending on how mature and worldly your child is, you can make the call.
Well, bravo to the teachers once again.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
Right. That's right. And I really do hope that, like most things, people are waiting till the last minute to see if they're going to get that big snowstorm this weekend.
My gut feeling tells me there's a bit of that involved.
Yeah, I hope
are
not. I just heard on the way here that we're expected to get rain on Friday and perhaps a wintry mix on Saturday.
Oh, no, really? I had not
But, you know,
heard.
We've heard this before,
yeah,
so.
Yeah,
let's see. I'm ready to get snowed in.
Exactly. I'm ready to get snowed in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That would work great
for me. That
would
suit me, too, yes. That's true.
But please come on out to the Temple Theater. If you want more information, please go to our website, which is templeshows.com, or you can call the box office, which is 774-4155.
And that's 919.
That's area code 919. There are tickets still available. It's this Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m., Sunday at 2. After this Sunday's performance, there will also be a reception after the talkback sponsored by the Racial Equality Group of Sanford that's called One by One. And then the following weekend, the first weekend in February, also Friday and Saturday at 8, Sunday at 2. And after that final matinee performance, the local Sanford Library is hosting a One Book, One City discussion.
Wonderful. So give us a rundown of what's coming up throughout the whole year.
We have Blood Done Sign My Name, January 29th through February 7th, followed by our Winter Youth Conservatory production of Romeo and Juliet. And that's February 26th through the 28th. And then the following weekend, March 7th, 5th through the 7th. Then we have Jason Petty, who did Hank Williams for us a couple years ago, mm-hmm. is coming back with his brand new show. And it's also the last time he's going to do this show. He's had a few problems with the estate of Marty Robbins.
Oh,
so it's the last chance for anyone anywhere on the planet to see this show. And it's now called Jason Petty's El Paso, but it's the music of Marty Robbins as well as Hank Williams and Gene Autry.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a 9-piece live band. I can say this because it's true. I'm not a huge country music fan, mm-hmm. but Jason is such a wonderful musician and a great storyteller. Mm-hmm. You would love him just for his storytelling.
I think the thing about
attributes.
Marty Robbins was that there were folk tales, really.
They really are.
And I wouldn't even really call it exclusively country music.
No,
it's sort of a cross between
so.
Folk and country, if anything.
Right. And he tells really beautiful, long
yes,
stories where somebody dies or somebody, you know, kicks his horse or a girl gets shot or... But they're all just beautiful.
Sounds great.
He's got the flavor in his tone. He really does.
Exactly. And Jason has him to a T. And it's just a wonderful storyteller in his own right.
So he was able to switch from that to that high pitch of Hank Williams.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah,
that's incredible.
I know. He's a fascinating performer. And like I said, 9-piece live band, which you just don't see anymore, you know, with the slide guitar mm-hmm. and the steel guitar and, you know, all those great instruments, the mandolin. And then we're ending our season April 29th through May 16th with South Pacific.
The one and only.
The one and only.
The one we dropped hints about a few,
That's
well,
right.
many
well,
weeks
now
ago.
Now we can say what it is. And I humbly am saying that I'm playing Nellie Forbush in that. So.
All right, good.
All right, you're the one that washes the man.
I'm
going
to wash that man right out of my hair.
Fantastic.
Hey.
I just think it's a great role, which I've done before, and these days we all need to remain cockeyed optimists, which gets a little more and more difficult. But you know, like we were talking earlier about the political situation, everything we do impacts not only our own being but everyone else. So. Mm-hmm. It's all about the attitude, and that's the thing I like about that role, is that she learns big lessons, because it's also about racism and her own prejudice that she works through, and how to stay optimistic and how to remain true to yourself but be open-minded, which I would hope for myself and all of us, really.
A big requirement in life in
general.
You better
believe it.
Yes.
Well, they have actually done scientific studies recently to say that happiness is contagious.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done their tests on this, so then you know it's right.
Was it on Oprah?
Because we need that proof. My goodness.
We need that proof.
Must have been Oprah, yeah.
But this can be like if I will smile at you and lift your spirits, and then you smile at Claudio and lifts his spirits, and it travels. It rolls. So it's you do have an effect.
I do an experiment some mornings when it's early and dark. It's dark in the mornings here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
it
care
is.
For that.
It's cool.
And I'm driving with my lovely dog to work. But it's a small town, so I'll wave at people.
You don't have city lights bleeding in the window, darling.
Yeah, no, I know. But I'll just wave at people on the way, and people will wave back, and you do a little nod and a smile, and you feel better.
Yeah,
by the time you get to work, you're like, well, it's still dark, and I still need more coffee, but, I feel a little better.
It's one of the things I enjoyed about being a biker, because bikers generally, if they're passing each other on opposite side of the highway, they always salute each other. Mm-hmm. There's always a connection there. And no matter who, it's always done. And I really always made my day when I was on a scooter.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You were about to say something.
It went out
Audrey.
Of my head.
Oh, no, it's one of those. Oh, no, you're not one of the people on those pages, are you?
Absolutely. I've been practicing for
that. Where's my toast?
Yes, where's your toast? Shall we go ahead and slip into radio theater, and then we can always have a little chat in closing once we're done with that, because I think it may take us a good 10 minutes to go through what we want to.
Okay, and we have a lineup, correct?
Mm-hmm. We do.
Okay, listeners, get ready. The house lights are dimming here at Claudio Speakeasy. We're settled back in our chairs, ready to be entertained, and the spotlight is on Peggy. Coming to center stage of the Speakeasy Radio Theater. Shh, let's listen.
In the early wake of an evening tide, she let all of her dreams subside and danced them all like pirouettes upon the sea. Silently the ocean's flowing gave its life to visions growing, forming ghost-like silhouettes dancing on the froth. Observing from the vantage of a reef that stood on high, she smiled upon the apparitions set against an evening sky. The dreams began as the stage was set by memories that had cast their net, summoned by remembrance of a younger mermaid once in love, and veiled beyond the mists of time there came a vision most sublime. A wind-strewn countenance of years gone by, who prevailed a glance upon her eyes and so evoked her soul to tears, as she yearned once more for the yesteryears. A time when tempest winds prevailed, their gales across the stream, when waves of turbulence leapt high, the reefs could not be seen, and when such soul as she now remembered sailed his ship amid the storms, which crew from life these reefs surrendered, though its captains lived untorn. Unwounded yet in need of strength to prevail against these waters, it was like a stone he sank at length in a realm of countless slaughters. Now as he sank to depths unknown, abandoned by all motion, there came to him a maiden fair who dwelled within the ocean. She freed him from the haunting deep in his swift descent and slumber, and stole a carrion from the keep of Mother Ocean's plunder. She sensed in him her heart's allure and a joy beyond all knowing, while swimming him to land and cure away from waters tense and flowing. In doing so, she bade farewell to a maiden's true ambitions, where separate realms may toll the bell of a sailor's premonitions.
And that was Peggy reading Soliloquy from Seafarers about a mermaid.
That's
something
beautiful.
That I don't know if you knew that was part of Seafarers.
Mm-hmm.
It was written some years ago, and it seems like every maritime story has to have a mermaid in it somewhere. And
absolutely.
I met mermaids, but they were all on land. So.
I just did you read? There was an article. This is an odd.
They were
segue,
dry docked.
An odd segue to the soliloquy, but there was an article about an ad at a gym that said, do you want to be a mermaid or a whale this year for New Year's resolutions? And this woman wrote back and said, whales are very communicative. They even sing. They nurture their young. They swim in, with their friends, and they don't kill anything. They have no enemies except man.
Right.
And they are masters of their domain, blah, blah, blah. And then mermaids, obviously, A, don't exist. B, if they did, what are they? Woman, fish, where do you live, really? And probably smell wherever they're going to live. And so she said, I'm happily going to choose to be a whale.
There
Happy
we go.
New Year.
I think that's fantastic.
I do, too. Yes. So I just thought of that when you said you've met a mermaid. I was like, really?
Well, when I said I've met mermaids, I mean women by the sea. When I was in my travels, when I was living in the islands, I referred to my lovers and my romances there as mermaids.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, they all had legs, nothing fishy about them.
And I think the multitudes in his past.
Oh, yes, right.
Now we know.
And I think on that note, still staying maritime, I'm going to introduce Audrey, who's going to be reading Atlantic Serenade.
Dreamer on a sleepy ocean, traveling on your waveless seas, timeless thoughts steal your devotion while you fly life's memories. Sail the seas within your mind, walk on water, ride the waves. For before long, my friend, you'll find you have found freedom from the graves. You face the midnight purple haze of autumn ways too soon passed by, and you embrace those yesterdays with life's last kiss, and then they die. Dreamer on your sleepy oceans, traveling with your clouded skies, sing your songs of love's emotions and spare the world your sad goodbyes.
And that was sort of written while pondering lots of time spent on a boat crossing the ocean. It's amazing what comes back to you, for one thing. I mean, I went all the way back in memory to when I was 2 and 3 years old, something I never do on land. And I don't think it really happens to you until the concerns of the land sort of dissipate and you realize, I might not even make it back.
That's right.
So what's the point?
Well, when you're adrift, I guess your mind can also drift.
Absolutely. And that lulling the water and, just the patterns, the light, everything combined. And, of course, the poet in me came out while I was sitting there going, what is it you want to say to yourself? That was pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a way of separating yourself from the mundane,
absolutely,
and freeing yourself to talk.
That's why it's almost impossible to describe to anyone what an ocean voyage is truly like. And I'm not talking about luxury ships because they're, in contrast, they're a joke because you're entertained by so many different things. You've got all this food coming at you. You're not really spending time at sea. You're spending time on a floating hotel.
Exactly.
And you occasionally look overboard to that thing you're subjecting to your presence called Mother Ocean. And but actually spend 2 weeks straight on a vessel that my first one was a 69-footer.
Wow.
It was built like a little tugboat, but it crossed beautifully. The fastest we could go was 13 knots.
Mm-hmm.
And it took us nine days to make it to the Dominican Republic, which is the other side of Haiti, where everything's going on now. And by the time that ninth day rolled around and I saw the Dominican Republic in the distance, I'm sure I had a feeling that was comparable to the first people crossing the ocean and going, my God, land.
Yeah. Did you weep a little bit?
I probably did. I can't remember. But it was just this haunting sight, like, oh, God, we're going to be able to get off the boat, get ashore. But,
right.
But for 9 days, we were lulled by the deep, and it's amazing what comes back to you, things you hear. That's why I've always said it would be a good idea before you end up going on an ocean crossing that's going to take any duration of time. Be sure that you are a good friend to yourself, because you may find yourself very unkind to yourself otherwise with all that time to reflect.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
We didn't have television. Nothing was working. You're out of reach, basically.
Right.
Which is absolutely wonderful anyway. So the only thing you could play was some music.
Right.
And then hang out and be trapped by the lull of the sea. And there's nothing like it. And to describe that, even as poorly as I'm doing it now, but the only thing I can say is go. Spend at least a week, 4 or 5 days, if nothing else, and being surrounded by nothing but water. Don't see land in all that time, and you'll get an idea of what I'm talking about.
And I would think, choose your companions wisely.
Indeed.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, there can be murder on board.
And make sure they know how to swim.
Right. Or, and have a conversation. Because
Yes. Yeah, because you do have to literally entertain each other on board. That's it. So it can... I'm sure there are stories we'll never hear because they've slipped away. Okay, time for me to do a little something here. I want to tell a story about a dear friend of mine. When I was the executive chef at Bluebeard's Castle, I had one of my favorite people there. It was actually a pot washer, and he would occasionally prepare a wonderful goat roti as one of our specials. He was very good at that, but he was basically a black fisherman. His name was Smitty, with two Ds, S-M-I-D-D-Y. At least that's how he introduced himself to me. And we would talk about all things nautical. And he would tell me these stories about when he was out fishing, and he did this strictly for himself or family or friends. He was the kind of guy that would come back and he'd have a good catch and he'd share it. But he told me of several different kinds of stories. In one case, he'd fallen overboard because the boom hit him on the head, and he knew that if he stayed in the water, because he felt himself passing out, that he would drown. So he managed with all of his strength to get himself back on the boat and passed out on the boat. And hours later, when he woke up, he was actually nearing another island. I don't even remember what that was, but we talked, and I asked him what he would do if he knew death was coming, and he had the ability to do anything about it, to have his choice in the way he would die. And he said that he would set himself a sail once more, just go out in his boat, tie his sail down, and drift, and just drift into eternity. In his words, so I dedicate this to Smitty. Windsong. I have lived my life on foreign shores, as a lover of the sea, drinking down my nevermores when they wouldn't set me free. I spent my years saluting winds, which gave my sails direction, and ever was it plain to see my youth in my reflection. Though now I greet my autumn season like a leaf upon the wind, who in having lived by love and reason will bear myself once more to journey. This body, though merely a shell, has truly lived and served me well. These eyes, though rugged by the years, have smiled their smiles and shed their tears. So all in all I am rejoicing upon the sea alone, for in the winds a spirit voicing a call to bring me home. I pray the prayer of every sinner and poets much alike, that my spirit clothes me a winner upon that final hour's strike. And as I journey from here to hence, where there is neither gate nor fence, as an older man I must concede, a windsong now is all I need.
Bravo.
Thank you.
Bravo.
Thank you. And thank you, ladies. That concludes our radio theater, and I think it's about time's up for Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater. So, Peggy, thank you for being on board.
Thank you for having me. Please come out. I know I'm going to see you on Sunday.
Yes, I'm coming out on Sunday.
Sign my name. Audrey, please try to make it if you can.
Okay, thank you.
Bring your friends, your family, strangers on the street.
Okay.
And thank you for tuning us in, folks. This is your host, Claudio, signing off. Cheers.